March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, Diggs and Brandon Ayuk were the two most realistic targets for the Patriots this year as far as acquiring a top-end receiver or someone who could be. They badly need that. They have the worst receiver room in the NFL, you know, a bunch of number three and number four receivers, and it's been that way for several years now. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Julian Edelman in 2019, so they need talent. To me, they should still try to get Travis Hunter at number four. That would be a slam dunk for them.
Ben Volin, Boston Globe, joining our morning show today. Sammy P had it in his head that I was like into the Dolphins. I'm really not. You could have said that about me with the Jets last year, but I have a tough time imagining Miami being much different. Maybe they go south, but can they really just like win 11 games as presently constituted? Plus the draft. That's a hard one for me. This is Bulldog too, and I want to say he was first to it, you know, as opposed to me. I could kind of, not 11 games, but I could kind of see it with New England, where it's May in year two, new coaches, first of all. And it sounded like it was amateur hour with Gerard Mayo and that staff. And now you've got Vrabel, who at least you got to give him, he's proven that he's good at it. I mean, it's the former coach of the year, been to the playoffs, you know. So credibility. And Josh McDaniels also has, as a coordinator, I think, credibility. So they've got that. You put May in with that. Running back, I really don't care. I mean, maybe it's Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe it's someone new, whatever. But wide receiver, Diggs. And if it's Hunter, like a rookie, plus, are you supposed to, this has got to be a question I think of in one of these fantasy podcasts, are you supposed to just write off the guys they drafted last year who basically did nothing, Polk and Baker? Two receivers from that draft, they got very little out of either. And you have Kayshon Boutte and Pop Douglas. You've got some sort of Kendrick Bourne, some replacement level other options, I think, but Jalen Polk was a second-round pick. You might not want to just sort of be done with that after 1 year, since you had those other challenges last year with May being a rookie, Brissett even before that, the coaching staff, etc. So if, I mean, it's always ifs with bad teams, but if maybe there's something there that this staff can tap into, he matures, whatever it is, with Diggs, I mean, Travis Hunter is a huge swing player in this. Without him, then what? I mean, they're not drafting any, probably drafting a different receiver at four. Interesting to hear Sigmund Bloom say, you really want the Giants, if you're the Bills, to take Travis Hunter. Like, he's all that, I guess, isn't he? And, you know, two players in your division for years to come, maybe that's a big deal. You go Ward at one to Tennessee, Carter at two to Cleveland. It's kind of how it sounds now. I go back and forth between whether that makes sense or it doesn't, having Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter. Sure, like just you own edge rusher, but you're not a good team at all, and maybe you'd want to think about something else. And I go back and forth on that. And then three, I think the Giants probably would take Hunter and not Shedeur Sanders or anybody else. Maybe they could go offensive tackle. That's the position I see the most often in that range, if it's not three, but it'd be like four to New England. I would predict that a tackle goes in the top four. And that only happens if Sanders doesn't. Top five anyway, something like that. So that I think the Patriots have the possibility of really being different quickly. Because I think the quarterback might be good. And, you know, Diggs is older and coming off a big injury, but there's probably still something there with him. especially if he doesn't have to be the alpha. You know, like he can play in the slot. Just need one of those guys, not that we want this, but the Patriots just need one of those guys from last year to make a big step. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. I saw a cool thing from Pro Football Network. I'm glad to be on their email list, Pro Football Network, because they send some interesting data and analysis. What they did today was the top 100 NFL free agents for 2026. Everybody who doesn't have a contract after this year. And there are five Bills on this list. Now, it's 100 guys. I will tell you that number 96 is Daquan Jones. I read the whole list. So somebody who is, I mean, his status on the roster is pretty tenuous, been around a long time. I don't know. Are the Bills getting ready to re-up Daquan Jones, or just what would they do? He comes in on this list, the top 100 free agents in the league for 2026. T.J. Watt was number one. And Micah Parsons from Dallas, number two. Those are the top two guys that, as of now, are not signed past this year. But, again, five Bills. The others, number 13, Christian Benford. If he isn't signed, 13. This site, like many, are just quick to tell you how good he's been for the Bills. That's not just fans. I mean, he does seem to get a lot of respect outside Benford. So he comes in at number 13. James Cook, you know, you might assume would be on this list, and he is. He comes in at number 24. This is hard for me to sort of like contextualize because I haven't thought for a minute who are the other free agents to be around the NFL. But I'm going in through this door to maybe give you some perspective on that. Cook comes in at 24. I'm going to skip the next Bill and go to 94, who is Connor McGovern, right down next to Daquan Jones. You know, had a nice season for the Bills. Does he end up being here for too many more for years to come? I don't know, but he'll be up after this upcoming season. And Matt Milano, rated 67th. And I'm starting to want, not starting to, but since that restructuring that they did, the signal that sent to me was that maybe there's not a lot left. They reworked him so that he'll be up, and that's why he's on this list, after next season. He's just been through so much physically. I wonder if that there isn't sort of a maybe mutual expectation here that it's late for Milano. So that's one. You know, Sigmund Bloom made that great point about how when it comes to the draft, teams can't lie. They'll probably lie a lot before the draft, but once they make their picks, how that reveals how they really feel. I mean, that obviously is the case. They're not making picks just as a, you know, as a deke. So if the Bills, you know, push linebacker up, maybe even to the point where you'd think, say it's in the second round, are they thinking that player is going to start as a rookie? That wouldn't be a great sign for Milano and his, you know, recovery. I mean, he did come back, just sort of like where he's at in his career. I don't want to be too, you know, pessimistic about that, but that's kind of how it's felt to me since they made that move with his contract. So top 100 2026 free agents, five Bills on the list, and I had to make a note, number 99 is Kyle Pitts. Like Kyle Pitts from Atlanta, the prodigy, end-all, be-all tight end prospect, super young, has just like had such a disappointing career that even on the list of 100 free agents for next year, he comes in like under Daquan Jones. He comes in at 99th. That is harsh stuff. One more on football we haven't talked about. Yes, this is actually a thing, the nose wipe gesture this week. Apparently, like, well, this, do I get fined for that? I'm just trying to sort of demonstrate what I think it is. The nose wipe gesture now will constitute unsportsmanlike conduct in the NFL. I mean, we had to get this in. The week is almost up here, but a new one. Jeremy had a funny tweet about imagining Gene Steratore. Jeremy seems to have a major problem with Gene Steratore. Like, it's a personal thing. I don't know what it is. Other than, like, he might be sort of the face of all the TV refs. I don't know. Anyway, he just was imagining, and I went with him on this, guys, you know, during a game, analyzing whether the nose wipe gesture rose to the level of a foul. Good stuff. Football gives us these gems every offseason. 803-0550 for your calls. Would love to talk to you today, whether it's about the Bills, the draft. We did some Sabres earlier, and we'll do more. Also, some of the baseball topics from yesterday that were fun. Chad DeDominicis joins me at 5 to talk about the Sabres' future. This is Mike Shope on WGR.